Wow, what a song, what a song. Praise God, it's settled and I'm saved. How about you? Are you saved? Do you know that your name has been written down? Well, I'm back today and it all sounds good to me. I sure hope it sounds good to you. I apologize for last week. This program I have is very sensitive and things can go wrong and you don't know it till they're done going wrong. Well, it's good to be back, and we'll check it out again this week and make sure it's great. Now, I need to ask you a question. This is a very important question. I mean, I couldn't ask you a question that's more important than this question. Have you ever had an abortion? Have you ever had an abortion? Do you have a family member, a child, a daughter-in-law, or just some good friend that's had an abortion? Or you may be a doctor and you performed abortions, or a nurse, and you worked in an abortion clinic, or maybe in the operating room of a hospital. Well, I'm coming to you today to talk about aborting children, aborting babies, let's say. Aborting babies. And I want to tell you something that is very clear in the Bible. Aborting babies is a blood offering to false gods. Aborting babies is a blood offering to false gods. There's no way you can sin greater than to kill that little child that's growing in your womb. To go in there in that sacred place, that holy of holies, I call it, where God has given you and your husband, you and your man, an ability to create a living soul, not just a body, but a living soul. Friend, you're talking of serious business. You're talking of business that is mind-boggling. And I'm giving you today an article that I wrote a little time ago. I wrote this for a book that was published by Terry James. If you know anything about Rapture Ready, he's connected deeply with Rapture Ready. I wrote this article for a book he wrote. A book he published. And so it comes out of his book. It's never been published by me before. It's never been sent out by me before. But it's one breathtaking article. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit that always helps me when I call on him and when I lean on him. And so the name of it is Aborting Babies, a Blood Offering to False Gods. Aborting babies, a blood offering to false gods. Now, I'll tell you something I'm going to do today that's as important as anything I do, and that's at 15 till the hour. That's 40 minutes from now. I'm going to pray, especially with mothers and doctors and nurses and politicians and anybody out there that's been a part of the abortion industry. I'm going to pray with you for God's forgiveness. I want you to know that you can get forgiveness. If you couldn't get forgiveness for abortion, then there's many other sins that would certainly be in the ranks with that, maybe at least close. Now, I'm going to do that because I care about you and I love you. And there's nobody out there that Brother Chambers doesn't care deeply and profoundly about. And I don't want anybody out there to suffer the shame of carrying this thing to your grave. And I want you to get forgiveness. Listen to me. Because if you are saved, if you get saved and you go to heaven, you're going to see that baby. That little baby is going to be there. That little baby is going to be there. And can you imagine the multitude of babies that will be there? And if they're looking for mother, they won't find her. Or you say they won't know the mother. Oh, yes, they will. I'll give you a verse to prove that as we move along, should you ask. But I'm telling you, we're talking about serious, serious, serious business. And I tremble. I tremble with it. Well, I want to start today to take you to where I can prove to you. I can prove to you, and there's other places. For instance, before I go to this particular place, how about Jesus when he was conceived in Mary's womb? And Mary went almost immediately to the home of her kinfolks named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had a baby in her womb. And the baby in Elizabeth's womb was six months developed. In other words, 3 months from delivery. And both Elizabeth and the baby received the Holy Ghost when Mary entered that room, that house where they lived. instantly the Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth, and she and John the Baptist were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was 6 months before he was born, filled with the Holy Ghost, because of the presence of Jesus Christ just days in the womb of Mary. And his Holy Ghost anointing fills John the Baptist and Elizabeth. You couldn't match that, could you? And you can't argue with that either, I guarantee that. Anybody that says a baby isn't a baby at conception does not understand the Bible. And let's go to the book of Psalms, division 139. The book of Psalms, division 139. And I want to read you something that always takes my breath away. It really does. It's mighty. Psalms 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now listen, David is writing, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. My substance wasn't hid from thee when I was in my mother's womb in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The mother's womb, the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Before my body was complete, before I was ready to come out of that womb, David said, thou didst see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members was written. God already had his DNA. God already had his fingerprints. God already knew him as a being, as a person. He was known by the Father in his mother's womb. All his members were written. They were already marked. Did you know not a baby ever aborted that has the fingerprints of any other living soul? And not a baby ever aborted has the same DNA of any other living soul? Because this is God's business. This is God's business. When in continuance I were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God knew me when there was none of them, when I was barely conceived, when I was barely evident in my mother's womb, when I was barely days, maybe hours, conceived in my mother's womb. Thou didst know me. You had my name written. You had my members written. You knew me in this unperfect state. Now listen, that's God talking, my friend, through David the psalmist. 139, if you want to go read it, Psalms 139, begin with verse 13 and read to verse 17, okay? Verse 13 to verse 17 in Psalms 139. Now, is there any doubt? Is there any doubt that life begins at conception? I would honor the privilege of responding to that as this program develops. The numbers here, by the way, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then we have a toll-free number, 1-800. Anywhere in America or Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 7884. Now we have email, and we are, of course, got email always up and ready to help you, because we are here to help you. Whatever, whoever, we're here for your benefit and to be a blessing to you. And let's go here to the emails and see those that may come in. My email address, jrc@paulcreek.org. JRC@PAW. Now notice that PA, not Paul, like Apostle Paul, but PA like a cat paw. PAWCREEK.org, not .com now, .org. I want questions beyond my ability to respond to all of them, because you need to know what abortion is all about. And you need to know it's an offering of blood to the false gods of this world. And I can take you in the Bible, and I will, and show you how Israel committed such grievous sins with the way they treated the babies and the children and offered them as sacrifices to Moloch, an old false idol God that did not exist. Now you listen to me. I got to hear from you today. I want these phones to ring off. 704-391-0588. 704-391. You got that? 391-0588 in Charlotte here, North Carolina. Area code is 704. Anywhere around here from, I don't know, you can hear me in Concord. We're on a station 1410 in Concord. We're on a station over toward Gastonia, 1370. Here in Charlotte, 1270. Here in Charlotte, 1240. And then we're on an FM station. And I never can remember that one because I have too many things to remember. Hey, I want to hear from you. I want your calls. I want your questions. I want to get in the middle of this. And I want us to learn today some things about abortion and how terrible it is. Do you understand, Mother? Do you understand, Mother? You will know that baby if you go to heaven. Wouldn't that be a shame? Think of how many aborted babies will wind up in heaven and cannot find their mother. They will not know and will not discover their mother. Oh, they won't be unhappy about it because God wipes away all the tears, but they will be conscious of it because you will know even as also you are known, the Bible says. By the way, that's in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, I believe it is. Chapter 13, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. If you want to know that you will know, even as you are known, we are going to know one another. We're going to have a grand body. It's going to be a wonderful place. But I tell you one thing, there will be some regrets. Do you understand there'll be some regrets in heaven? I don't think there's any question about that. Many people will regret they didn't earn the highest reward. Many people regret because they don't get to live in the city of New Jerusalem. It'll be happy there anywhere you are because the nations of the earth will bring their glory to the city of New Jerusalem. But there will be a multitude who lose their reward, but are saved so as by fire. Now, you can only be saved by the blood of Jesus and by being born again. By the blood of Jesus and by being born again. Make sure of that, will you? I read something in the Billy Graham magazine yesterday, that really, really helped me, really blessed me. I was grateful. Billy Graham, there's a picture of him, and here's something he said. I don't know when he said it. He says, today there are so many professing Christians who are walking hand in hand with this present evil world that you cannot tell the difference between the Christian and the sinner. There are so many present professing Christians who are walking hand in hand with the present evil world that you cannot tell the difference between the Christian and the sinner. That should never be. Now, that's his words, Billy Graham, okay? That should never be. I was glad Billy said that. That was in the May edition of the publication, May this year. And so, thank God they're saying things like that. I sound like Joe Chambers, don't it? Well, that's okay, Brother Franklin. I'm convinced it's certainly trying to get back to some stronger biblical truths. And it will be. It is a shame. How many professing people out there that live no different from the world? Well, I don't believe they're saved, see. That may be the difference in some people, is I don't believe you can live like the world and be saved. If you get saved, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You want to read that? 2 Corinthians 5:17, plus many, 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 many more scriptures. The Bible is full of them. Now, the lines are open, and we're here to talk about abortion. Abortion, offering a blood offering sacrifice to the gods of heathenism, to the false gods of the world, to the gods of pleasure, to the gods of hedonism. Hedonism, not just heathenism, but hedonism. Wicked living, ungodly living. I'm here to tell you, we live in a world that is going bonkers over sin and worldliness, and they think they're having a good time. I guess they think that. I don't know. Maybe they don't really. But I know one thing. I couldn't be enjoying in it. I'm glad I'm saved. Now, the lines are open. 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588. I thought about some questions, and I've been praying earnestly the Holy Ghost would help me answer them. Forgiveness. Having an abortion is murder. Can you be forgiven? Can you be forgiven? Well, I know you can, but many people are so bound by it and so locked in it. It's like a stronghold in their life, and they just are an emotional wreck because of abortions they've had and the guilt feeling that grips them. I'd like to help you above that. And you grab your phone, and I will do my best. 1-800-338-7884. Toll free, 1-800-338-7884. Local, anywhere here in this area, please use the 704 number, 391-0588. 1-391-0588. Now, think about this. What will it be like when a mother meets her aborted child? Can you imagine that moment? When a mother meets her aborted child, and this beautiful little lady or beautiful young man comes running toward mother. Mother, mother, I never got a chance to know you. Who are you? The mother may ask. I am a little girl that you aborted when you were such and such a state of mind. Or maybe they won't know all the details. I don't know how much they'll know. All I know is we shall know even as we're known. That, you know, it's what the Bible says, pretty clear. I mean, the Bible makes it plain that we're not going to be some kind of, you know, disembodied, disconnected, entity up there. We're going to be who we are. I'm going to be Joseph Chambers. I'm going to enjoy everything that I've earned in my faithfulness to the Savior, whatever rewards I get, and I won't deserve whatever I get as much as I want to deserve Him, and as laboriously as I've served Him. I still will never deserve Him because I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, and my righteousness is still like a filthy rag, but by the righteousness what He imputes and imparts to me. That's how I live this life, and you must live it. You must live it the same way. So think about meeting your child. What is your question? What is your question? Ask it. Let me hear what you say. Let me hear your question. Let me hear what you feel. Let me hear the emotion you're dealing with. If you had an aborted child and you've already repented and God's forgiven you, that would be something wonderful to tell at what happened and how everything changed when you truly, truly, truly got forgiveness from the Lord. That will be wonderful. That will be wonderful. You see, Brother Chambers, when you talk about abortion, you make my heart just throb. I've had two or three or four, and some people have had more than that. Do you imagine? Do you imagine a person who's had a half a dozen, six or eight abortions, and they just keep going back and, you know, living it up and involved in homosexual living, I'm sorry, adultery, the sins of wickedness. You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine the pain with it all? Can you imagine the pain with it all? Now, let me hear from you. You know, I would love to have a doctor. A good doctor who has repented, maybe, of this. Who's repented, maybe, of this involvement. And God's forgiven you, doctor. And you'd like to thank the people who maybe prayed for you. Maybe the people who marched outside your place and caused you to have a conscience of what was happening. Well, you know, we're dealing with something really overwhelming. Now, the lines are open. I want to hear from you. You're very important, and you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Chambers, this is Trace from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey there, my friend.
And I want to make a point. When Abraham, the story of Abraham and the four women that he had children with, God withheld one without kids for many, many years, and then He gave the other one a child. And He did that back and forth, which proves without a question that only He says when the egg is hit by the sperm.
Only who now that says that?
What's that?
Who knows when the sperm and the egg comes together?
God.
Of course, yes.
Because in the case of Abraham and his four women, only he clearly says, no, you're not going to be pregnant, you're going to be barren. And then He turns over to the other one and then back to the other one.
Well, that's because of sin and wickedness. A lot of people in the Old Testament were barren because of sin or because of...
I understand, but He's in control of when the egg becomes impregnated by the sperm.
Well, I don't doubt that at all, because he knows every member of the created being that's going to develop from this. He's in charge of it all. That's one thing I wrote down on my notes today that I want to make sure I mention. Nothing escapes our Father. He's in touch with his universe.
Yeah.
Nothing escapes our Father. He's in touch with his universe. And if every person out there would understand that God knows all about us, this is his world. He is profoundly in control. Nobody born on this earth has escaped the knowledge of God. He intended them to serve him and live for him. If they don't, it's their fault.
And I want to make another point. In the same conversation, that same statement that I just made, I don't know for a fact, but I understand there's hundreds of thousands of little sperms floating around trying to find the egg.
Well, I won't go there, okay?
Well,
I'm not capable enough to go there.
but what I'm saying is, here's hundreds of thousands. They don't hit the egg until God says, you hit that egg, and he has that predetermined.
I'm glad for you to share, okay? Bless your heart. Now, call us quickly. You can be on this program today, and you can get something. You can ask the question. I would like to have a variety out there. I've got questions coming in now on the internet by my email, but I want you to be involved. Now, here's the number again, 704-391-0588 and 1-800-338-7884. I want you to have this booklet. If you know a call, you've got to call the ladies who are right now waiting and get this booklet, okay? The name of it is Aborting Babies, a Blood Offering to False Gods. You need this. Your pastor needs it. Your children need it. If you will raise your children to understand what abortion is, you probably will not have them to turn to that. Now, the possibility, of course, always exists. Children get out there and get in sin and become rebellious, and then they get in trouble, and they try to hide the trouble, and many abortions was nothing but daughters trying to hide from daddy and mama, and mothers even trying to hide from husbands. Who knows all the many reasons abortions have been performed, but none of them have excuse. Every one of them is an act of murder. You need to understand that. Every one of them is the killing of a living soul. And what troubles me badly is to think of eternity and all of these precious lives that was aborted. And many of them, parents will never come to God. They wouldn't repent. They could care less about God. God is a byword to them. And that's even sadder, isn't it? It really is. Now, let's go here and take a look at some emails. And the lines are open now. The lady's standing by. You need this booklet. You need this booklet. Now, if you know somebody that needs to be forgiven and they want to be forgiven, you got to repent. You got to make a 180-degree turn. Repentance is not just empty words. It's not idle thought. It's not just trying to get rid of the guilt. It's not just trying to get rid of your sins so you can go to heaven. You got to repent. You got to turn to God with all of your heart. You got to understand that. You got to turn to God with all of your heart. Here's a question. 2 weeks ago, did you notice that there was more outrage over the killing of the lion in Africa than over the killing of unborn babies? I didn't even keep up with that one. The killing of a lion in Africa brought more outrage than the killing of a baby. That's liberalism. That's the whole Democrat Party. That's the President Obama and the would-be president, desire to be president, Hillary Clinton, and maybe even some Republicans. I don't keep up with all of this. But I want to tell you something, friend. And I want to tell you something. When people will be outrageous over the killing of an animal, and they could care less for the killing of unborn children, they believe that the choice of a woman preempts all other choices, period. What they're forgetting is human responsibility and human answerability to God. Human answerability to God. I'm telling you, we are going to answer to God, and that's for sure. Now, the outrage over the killing of the lion, that's amazing. Can you comment on the push to protect animal rights but to ignore the rights of unborn babies? Well, yeah, I can comment. It's insanity. It's insanity. It's liberalism gone amok. It's liberalism that has stolen the minds of human beings. It's a state of strongholds, of evil strongholds. The whole liberal world is under strongholds. I see kids go off to college, good kids, raised in good churches. They knew the way of God, and they come home, and it's like something's happened to their brain. It's like something's happened to their brain. And it's nothing but a stronghold from those old crazy liberals who are many times the teachers in high institutions of learning, and they're out to boggle the minds of these young people, especially if they have a good solid Bible background, and to steal their faith. And they're still in the faith of multiplied millions. And if you're one of them, I pray you'll repent. Brother Chambers is not your enemy. He's your friend. He's your friend. And when we pray in a moment for unsaved mothers, mothers who need to be forgiven, maybe you've been saved and no one has taught you that you can come to Christ and he can break that old bondage and that stronghold, that pain that is there from what happened when you were in sin. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus will break that pain and set you free, and break that sense of guilt and that horrible feeling of depravity. I mean, he'll break it and he'll change your life. It's miserable. It's miserable. How do you deal with people who will champion the rights of animals and don't care about unborn children? I'm telling you, it cannot be anything. You've got to hear me. It cannot be anything but insanity. Now grab your phone and call me. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. You are important. Well, that is not for me. I'm sorry. I'm waiting on your call. You are very important. I want nobody to miss getting through today, okay? I want nobody to miss getting through today. You are important, and your being part of this is very, very important to me. So grab your phone. I want to hear from you. You are important, and I want to try to answer your question. I want to help you rise up above whatever you are dealing with, okay? Whatever you're dealing with. Dear Pastor, no one can tell God that he cannot have a baby. No one can tell God that he cannot have a baby. Do you think he is birthing these millions of aborted children in countries that have a lot, long list of babies to complete his number? If so, that makes us twice guilty. Once for aborting, and two for the famine of those children are born in poor countries. George from California. And I'm going to tell you, friend, a lot of things are happening out there, and I don't know the answer to all of them. I don't sit here to be a big wise guy. I prayed so earnestly this morning. God, give me the wisdom to help people who call me. Give me the wisdom to help people who call me. Give me the wisdom to help some mother turn from this lifestyle. Some young girl who's caught up in it, and you're not married maybe, or maybe you've been, you know, many different factors may be there, but you're involved in abortion. You've had one, or you're going to have one. Let me help you understand that we're dealing with someone whom God knows all about. Fingerprints, DNA, everything. I mean, there's no way around it. This is all absolute. It is clear as a bell, and you must understand that, and I would like to help you. Now, I want to take you to a scripture that's quite amazing. This is one of those scriptures that really gets a hold of your heart when you get involved in it. And it's in the book of Genesis. Make me sure. Here I go. It tells us how much God knows about the things going on this earth. You understand? So anytime a person's blood is spilled, anytime a person is killed or murdered, whatever word you want to use, anytime a person, a human being, whom God has given a soul to, anytime they are, and every living soul, every person he's given a soul to, I don't mean to leave some question there, wouldn't do that for nothing, but every person, every being, every human being has a soul, and God keeps up and knows what's going on with that soul. And here's a story in the book of Genesis. And the Lord God said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? It was a lie, of course. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That's one of the things in my article here. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, if you have aborted a child, the blood of that child is crying out to the Father, that the Father may avenge the right and the worth of that child. And of course, the Father will in judgment, unless you go to Calvary and let Jesus forgive you. And then Jesus has already suffered that guilt of your behalf when you trust Christ and he washes you from your sins. If you will understand it, and this is kind of heavy, when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for every mother that would ever perform or allow an abortion to be performed upon her. He was dying for every doctor who would ever reach into a mother's womb, uterus, and take out a baby, in part, in most cases, piece by piece. He's already died to forgive those people of those sins. Now, he can't forgive them until they repent. He cannot forgive them until they repent. Now, I'm amazed that you're not calling me. I'm amazed that everybody out there isn't grabbing a phone to ask the question, or at least to get involved and to say, I feel the pain of these babies being aborted. I don't know about you, but I feel the pain. And if the abomination of babies being aborted does not weigh upon your heart, I would say you're not conscious of the things a believer, a Christian, ought to be conscious of. You ought to feel the load of this. You ought to feel the burden of this. If you've got a son or daughter who's had an abortion, you ought to weep over it and pray that your daughter or your daughter-in-law, and not a son, of course, but a son's wife, you ought to be praying. You ought to be believing. You ought to be crying out to God. There ought to be some tears on your eyes. I looked at the pictures that are part of this article. They'll be on the internet here in a little bit. If you don't get our post every week on the internet, this will be on the internet. And so if you have an internet and you're watching me on your internet or listening to me on your internet, then you'll have this very article that will come on your internet. But if you want us to send you a copy, we're going to make it into this nice little booklet with a beautiful cover, and it will be very, very nice. You can fit it right in your Bible, and you can share it. You can of course, get more than one if you want to. Many of you may want to have it printed for everybody in your congregation. You may want to have it to use in a prayer meeting, in a Bible study. Everybody out there ought to get involved, because America is committing suicide with our abortion industry. America is committing suicide with our abortion industry. Do you understand that? We're committing suicide. God's going to judge us. If you don't think God's fixing to judge us for all this stuff, you add to that same-sex marriage. You add to that now the growth of the transgender idea, that they're going to be able to invade the bathrooms of the opposite sex because of this mental difficulty that they've allowed to be created in their life. It is a mental difficulty. You hear me? A person who's a transgender is an insane person. They've gone through a transaction of demons and demon spirits that's made them insane. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they are. They don't even know where they're going. They've just gone so far down the path until most of them have probably passed the point of no return. It's a dangerous way to live. I'm here to tell you, it's a dark way to live, and I'm calling on you to repent. All right, grab your phone now. These lines ought to be lit up. Listen to me. 704-391-0588. You must have this booklet. You say, I can't stand to read it. You need to stand to read it. You need to make yourself read it. You need to help stop this industry. Why do people who are good people put their head in the sand and they don't know what's going on? I understand it hurts. I understand it hurts. It hurts me. It really does. But you got to be involved. You've got to help us stop the killing of unborn children. Now, we're going to go further next week. We're going to deal with this business of selling baby parts. You understand? You understand why Planned Parenthood is now selling baby parts? Because the whole industry is insanity. The whole industry is a work of demon spirits. It's a mental bondage in which the person comes under spirits of evil and wickedness, and they go deeper and deeper. When you reach the point that you can sell baby parts I'm assuring you, in my opinion, and I don't have a Bible for this, my opinion, I believe they've passed the point of no return. I believe they've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They've become a reprobate, and nothing's going to change those people. I mean, even President Obama is threatening the state governments that would dare defund Planned Parenthood. Oh, come here, friend. Listen to me. Listen to me. Let God open your mind and your heart, and let's do something about this industry that is so dark and full of the devil. Hey, you on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Kevin, this is Ken. How you doing today?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, listen, I'm at work, and I was listening to the radio program, and like I said, I have no children. I'm not married or anything like that. But I am a student of God's Word. And back in Exodus, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, one of them was, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's in Hebrew. And what that means is, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt commit no premeditated murder. And when an individual makes a choice to have an abortion, that's premeditated because you're thinking about it before you do it.
Yes.
And like I said, I was...
And you got to go pay for it.
Yeah. Now, you know, of course you can repent and turn around, but other than that, when you make a choice that you do not want this baby, and you go and you have it removed, that's premeditated. That's murder. That's what God was talking about, you know.
There's no question that nobody involved in this thing is more guilty than the people who have the abortions. But there is some place there. You see, these young girls often have never been taught anything. Mama wasn't worth 25 cents and daddy wasn't worth that much. They just have been brought up by the nape of their neck, and they've had no training. They've had no teaching. They've never taken the church. If they're taking the church, it's only sporadically. They're not committed to the house of God. I'm amazed at the people I know and deal with. And I read one preacher telling people today, it didn't matter how you lived after you got saved, whether you went to church or didn't go to church, that none of that made any difference. Well, that preacher was a lie. He used to be a Pentecostal. I guess he may still claim to be. And I'm not going to call his name. I'm threatened to, but I don't think I should. And so it reading that was on Facebook, by the way. Reading that kind of stuff blows my little mind. I guess I got a little mind, but this Bible is too real. And committing murder is horrible. And killing a little innocent baby. I mean, a little innocent baby. Hey, the picture that'll be on the webpage and the internet in just a little bit is side by side, a little woman saying, my body, my choice. And then there's a little baby. You can tell it's an unborn baby. And it says, my body, no choice. My body, no choice.
One thing for sure, life is short, death is certain, and eternity is forever.
And the pain those people are going, you know, I believe a person who's had an abortion is already hurting to the core of their being.
Well, they may not pay for it in this life, but when they stand before God, they'll pay for it in life to come. You're not going to escape it.
And you're exactly right, but I really believe most of them pay in this life. I believe it makes them mentally unbalanced. I believe it leaves them so, unless they repent and turn to God, and He'll cleanse you, He'll cleanse them completely, and they'll be able to put it on the altar and go on with their life. But it would be a miserable way to live.
Well, I know people have told me, well, you know, there's been wars, and God's had, you know, nations to come up against nations, and there's all kind of killing done. I said, yes, but when you go back to the original, God's talking about premeditated murder. He's talking about war.
Anybody that uses those kind of excuses is just looking for an excuse.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Brother Chambers. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, shall I give the fruit of my womb for the sin of my soul? And that's what these...
Where is that scripture?
Where is it?
Where is it?
It's in the Old Testament. Seems like it maybe in life.
Well, you look that up, because I want that scripture to give. Quote it again as you quoted it.
It said, shall I give the fruit of my womb for the sin of my soul?
Shall I give the fruit of my womb for the sin of my soul? Well, I would like to have that scripture to study it, because if it sounds like I think it sounds, it's just another wonderful scripture to help people know the sin of abortion.
That's right. And you know, abortion means to do away with something. And also, I found something that's interesting. Have you ever remember reading about the drums of Topheth in the Bible?
The what now?
The drums of Topheth. These were drums that were in the valley of the son of Hinnom.
Okay.
When they sacrificed to the gods of Molech and Rimpham, they actually carried their children there and threw them into this god, his mouth. They walked up these stairs and threw these children into the fire. And they played the drum so loud that it would dampen the cry of the baby. In America, what's happening, the drums are toothed and beaten again. And these mamas cannot hear, they've been so desensitized.
I wonder what kind of music they must play in an abortion clinic.
I don't know, but I'm...
I guarantee it's so loud that the cries of these people is duffed out. An abortion clinic is absolutely no different than the killing chambers of Hitler.
Oh, it's worse than that. You think about it.
Well, I agree with you. I think it is worse.
If they'll kill babies, they'll kill anybody.
It's a shame. Let me read something. God bless you, sir, for calling. You're my friend. Hey, call us out there, friend. We got time. We're going to pray in about 4 minutes for every mother that's ever had an abortion, for every doctor that's ever performed one, for every nurse that's ever been involved. Anybody, and if you've been defending it, if you've been telling everybody you believe it's all right, you've been telling young people and counseling them to go have an abortion, you're just as guilty as if you kill them yourself. You do understand that. You're just as guilty. Listen to this in Jeremiah. Listen, but they set their abominations of the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Oh, what a heartbreak. What a heartbreak. You see, God has dealt with that with Israel. They had their sons pass through the fire to Moloch, sacrificing them to Moloch. And as the man just said, played drums so loud, never heard that before. I'd like to have it if there's a scripture or if there's some secular information about that. I'd like to have it. Because we're dealing with something horrible. Do you understand? We're dealing with something horrible. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Chambers, just a while ago you made a mention, you know, about the Nazis and how bad they were. But you know, in America, not only are we allowing the killing, but we're paying the killers. They're being paid to do the killing, and now we're paying them off. The government is paying them to harvest the body parts, and they're getting paid for the harvest. So who do you think's worse, the Americans or the Nazis?
Well, I tell you what, I think all of this is as bad as ISIS and all the radical Islamists that are going around killing people by the scads. I believe it was 13 little girls killed in Mosul this week because they wouldn't have sex with these radical Islamic fighters, and they just killed them. They eliminated them. Murder has become so big in our world, in Kenya, I mean country after country. I've got so much information, it's chilling to think about it. We are near the coming of the Lord, brother.
I know it, but like I said just a while ago, not only are we allowing the killing, but we're paying the people to do the killing.
And mine, your tax dollars are doing it.
That's what I know. I know.
That's what you're talking about. I know. I'm sorry I didn't respond, but I heard it, and everybody else heard it. I want you to know, folks, you have been paid for this. And we're planning a march. If we can get it all together, you'll know the details shortly. We're planning a march on Washington. We got a date set for the first Friday in December, and we're hoping to get it all together. We want you involved, so get yourself ready. Let your boss men know you'll probably need to be off the first Friday in October, okay? We've got to do something about what's going on. Let me take that's my call. Thank you, sir. God bless you for calling. Here's a question that's on the internet. Dear Pastor, no one can tell God. No, I've already read that, I believe. I'm trying to see if there's another one here. Abortions occur because people do not fear God and do not respect the sanctity of life. People do not want the inconvenience of shame of having an unwanted baby. But if all abortions stopped today, then we would have to care and support these babies. That means more money for welfare and education. nation, are we willing to do that? Well, how about mamas and daddies paying for their own children? You know, that, I think we're forgetting that. I think we're trying to put the burden of welfare on us when it ought to be on good, decent moms and dads that work hard. If you could get mamas and daddies straightened out where they didn't have abortions, then they'd probably be constructive citizens who could work and make a living and pay taxes and help lessen our burden of welfare. Don't you imagine? Hey, is that okay? Hey, it's time to pray. You have had an abortion. You have been part of an abortion. You told your daughter to go have an abortion. You told a friend to go have an abortion. You counseled somebody to have an abortion. You participated in an abortion. You're a doctor. You're a nurse. We're praying for you to be forgiven. And it's up to you now. I cannot pray this prayer for you. I'm only praying for you to pray and begging of you to pray. And I'm going to lead you, Father. Listen, pray with me. Father, I have sinned grievously against your holy word. I have committed an act that is absolutely contrary to both decency and the laws of God. And I repent. I have done great damage to this little one whose death I caused, and I'm repenting. And Father, I'm asking you to forgive me. I am turning 180 degrees. I will never do something like this again. I am going to be a new person, but I'm depending on you to make me a new person. Father, save me and change me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I want to be born again. I want to be born again. I want to be a new creature in Christ. And I want to serve the Master, the great Lord and Savior. If you mean that, Father, if they mean that, Father, I pray you'll save them. And if you mean that, friend, why don't you lift up your hands and say, Father, I count it done. And Father, I pray. Oh, God, I pray. Father, I weep over these abortions. I weep for these little ones. Their blood cries to you from the ground, Father. I pray, God, you will so move in America. If you must start judging us, do it, God, to awake us and to shake us out of our lethargy and to bring us to a place of biblical repentance. I'm claiming that, Jehovah God. I'm claiming a Holy Ghost revival by the grace and mercies of the great God. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for forgiveness for those doctors that repent, those nurses that repent, those mothers that repent, those grandmothers that were part of the action, though anybody that in any way was supportive, I pray for them. And I believe you to forgive them and cleanse them and give them a new heart. Now, set them on fire to do their best to help stop the abortion industry. Do their best to help them get involved in standing against this wicked, wicked way of living. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father. Now, the lines are open. We've got about 12, 13 minutes. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Remember, this booklet, I want you to have this booklet. It is extremely important. The first picture will be overwhelming. All but the others are just breathtaking. I wish I could show you, little fella. I'm learning how to put up things on my internet, and I'll be making some things better for you to see and know. But you know, you got to pray for me. But in the meantime, I want to send you this. So call the ladies. There are two ladies standing by, and they're here to answer your phone, to take your name and address, and to send you this booklet. Everybody out there ought to be involved in stopping the abortion industry. It is murder. Did you hear what I read in the book of Psalms, division 139? How many of you read that? Did you really read that? Did you really hear those words that God said, thine, this is God's eyes, that did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Very plainly, while the mother and the child is in the secret place of the womb, God knows about it. God knows all the details of it. And God knows the fingerprints and the DNA. And I'm here to tell you, many people are getting involved in all kinds of illicit sex and careless living, becoming pregnant. I know the dear caller said only when God allows it, but God's not going to stop the action of human beings just to protect you from having a baby killed. Many of you are doing it because you're murderous and you have no sense of the guilt of God and the fear of God, and you've never maybe been raised with any decency, and some liberal mind taught you and tried to tell you it's okay. Listen to me. Turn from all of that and turn to Christ. Turn to Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I preached a sermon last Sunday. That's one of the best sermons I have ever preached. It's right here on this internet. It's right here in the archives. All you got to do is go on www.paulcreek.org. Paulcreek.org is all you really need. And look over on your right and you'll see one icon, big icon for Open Bible Dialogue. And under it, you'll see one that says Sanctuary Sermons. You touch on that and it will take you to a page of sermons. And at the top of that page is last Sunday morning's sermon. It was, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to hear that sermon. I really do. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that sermon is worth your going to the internet, www.paulcreek.org. And notice now over on the right side, you see me in the pulpit, and kind of an icon. It's about, what, 3 inches from the top. And that's a live icon. When you click on it, it goes to a page. And the pages are sermons. One after the other, all the way down, 100 or so, well, maybe 100 now on video. And we got many more audio. And you go, and last Sunday, the one at the top, "Behold the Lamb of God." I want you to go hear that. I really do want you to go hear that sermon. You're talking about bringing you to Christ. You're talking about, there are many wonderful superlative names we use for the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's none so wonderful as the Lamb of God. And that one drops me on my knees because I love the blessed Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I belong to Him. I was such a sinner. Now, let me say something that will help you here. Understand where Brother Chambers is coming from. You understand, and I understand, how people get into this lifestyle of sin. I do understand that. And I understand how people get in that lifestyle and do things like abortions. And while I'm doing my best to make you guilty, and you are guilty, because I want you to repent, I do understand that this old man is guilty very quickly of going in a vile way. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3 and 21. Paul said this in Philippians 3 and 21. "Who shall change our vile," V-I-L-E, "body," "who shall change our vile body?" I want you to know that you and me and all of listeners have a vile body that'll take you down the wrong road in a minute's time. All you got to do is start playing with sin, and sin will take you further than you ever meant to go and keep you longer than you ever meant to stay, and will do its best to never turn you loose, because sin wants to damn you in a devil's hell. And this vile body of yours, once it gets caught in sin, becomes locked in a situation that's very, very dark. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. You say, "Brother Chambers, I'm in that state." Well, I want to tell you something. You go to the book of St. John, and you just read one book, the book of St. John, and you read it 2 or 3 times in a row, and don't be in a hurry, and pray one prayer. Father, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus in this book of John so that He will help me repent. And see, you start reading the Bible, or you start going to a Holy Ghost-filled church, and it won't take you long to get under conviction. And then you will be able to turn from that vile body. Because every sinner out there has a vile body. And every Christian out there has a body that is still vile, even though you've overcome. And even though the blood has cleansed you. And even though you've been born again. And even though you're a new creature in Christ, and you don't live in sin any longer. That body, that inner nature, that Adamic nature is still vile. And all you got to do is turn loose the things of God and get careless and start going playing with sin. Who knows what will happen to you? You know what Paul said? Many years into his ministry, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. Listen to what Apostle Paul said. "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." Paul said that. I keep under my body. I keep it disciplined. I keep it sanctified. Oh, it's the blood of Jesus that keeps it sanctified, but only you can let him do it. He won't do it against your will. He won't do it against your wishes. Whatever Jesus does for you has got to be at your surrender. It's got to be by your dedicated. He doesn't invade your life and take over your will. He responds to your will. So in your will, you turn to Christ. You say, I'm helpless. I can't. You ask him to help you. You ask him to do for you and in you and with you what you can't do for yourself. Okay? Very important. I want you to do that because I want you to be saved. I have a burden for the lost, a deep, profound burden for the lost, and I want you to be saved. And here's a question here, Micah 6 and 7, will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He didn't give me the location of that. Please send me the location. Oh, yeah, Michael 6 and 7. Michael 6 and 7. I like that. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Hey, that's good. Micah 5, 6 and 7. You know, people go to church and give offerings and give all kinds of money thinking that will cover their sinful living. No. All kinds of offerings and sacrifices is not sufficient if you don't turn to Christ with your heart. If you don't give him your life. Repent of your sins right now. Let's do it. What do you say? Let's do it. Let's do it today. My friend, I care about you. My heart is reaching for you. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray for that mother who had an abortion. That young girl. Oh, God, the many little girls. The many little girls, pretty little girls that have given themselves to abortion. And they're now under the guilt of it. And some of them are already wrecks. And some of them on the streets. And they're begging for flesh. And they become prostitutes. There are thousands of little girls, young girls across this nation that are prostitutes. Some do it in a kind of classy way, you know, by selling their bodies on certain nights to certain men for big dollars. I've read about some of that. Remember the governor up, was it the governor of New York? I believe that's right. Who was paying big sums of money for these young ladies to meet him. Young girls to meet him in hotels in different cities. And he was, they were divulging him with his sexual satisfactions. Oh, come on, friend. Come on, friend. God help us. And turn us back to God. You know, there's a pant in my soul today. I hope you can hear it. There's a pant in my soul today. I'm praying for God to somehow turn America around and save these little ladies, these little girls, and even these doctors who are caught up in this crazy industry. You're probably beyond the point of repenting, doctor. But if there's any sense of guilt in you, if there's any feeling of remorse, that's a good sign God would forgive you. If there's any feeling of remorse, you better run quickly to find you an altar and pray through to Calvary. Pray through to Calvary, and God will break that old bondage. If you're under bondages, we will pray over you. This church is committed to breaking the spirits of bondages and strongholds and demon possessions and people caught up in that lifestyle. We care about you, and we know the gospel will save you and will turn your life around. Hey, we care. We really do care, and we really are praying for the miracles of God in your life. Let me see if I can have any more here. Don't miss anybody. Children and youth in history. All right, I don't have time to go to that. This is someone inviting me to go to a website. Friend, this program has been something. Oh, well, something. It really has. I hope you feel my intensity. I hope you feel the burden of my soul. I hope you understand that I'm not coming here to hurt nobody. That I want you forgiven. I don't care how many abortions you've had, a dozen. He'll forgive you if you have the heart to repent and turn from it and make a 180-degree turn around and you're willing to turn to Christ. He's ready to forgive you. And I'm praying for God to forgive you. I really am. I care about you. Now, I know it's time to get to the end here. And I do want you to have this article. The ladies will stay here as long as the phone rings. Let me tell you that number again, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. If you're calling outside of our code, you need to leave a one, use a one, okay? 1-704-391-0588. The other number is 704-391-0588. That too takes a one. 1-800-338-7884. 338-7-88-TRUTH. 338-3388 truth. I'm sorry. 33 truth. 1-800-333-TRUTH. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I love you. You are special to me. I want you to have this article. I want everybody to get on the phones. The line, some of them are busy, but some are not. Grab your phone real quick and call. Grab your phone real quick and call. I don't have time for much, but I'll take 15 seconds. May I help you, please? May I help you, please?
If I'm dealing possessed, I need how to do your cast out.
Say that again.
I'm dealing possessed. I need how to do your cast out.
You know, I don't hear a word you're saying. I cannot understand you. I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
I'm demon possessed. I need to have demons cast out.
All right, you stay on the phone, and I'll be. And call me back in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Call me back in 10 minutes. God will set her free. God will set her free, but she better want to be free. You don't play with demons. You don't play with demons. God bless you. I love you. You are wonderful. I'm telling you, you are wonderful. I'm so glad to have you with me today. I care about you. I care about your soul. You are special to me, and I'll do anything I can to be a blessing. You stay there. The numbers will be on the board in front of you, okay? The numbers will be on the board.